Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Ed Morse is going to save you. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is South Florida High School Sports.com radio on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and streaming at WQAM.com.
And welcome in. That is us for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening. And we will talk recruiting, and we will talk college football and high school football. We're right in the middle of the state playoffs, and a lot going on, but you always have to be on guard. I mean, it's just, you get all prepared, you get all excited about this game or that game, and then all of a sudden, kickoff time comes, and you get a message on your phone that they're not going to be playing. But that's what this 2020's been about, and certainly we'll break things down in the first hour from a college standpoint. We'll talk to David Ferronis, who covers the University of Miami for the Sun Sentinel, the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He'll join us about 6:45 or so. At 6:30, what the heck's going on? FIU can't even get a game in, and we'll talk to Eric Henry, who's on top of that story. Every time I see them now, they're getting the game postponed or canceled or something. It's just been a crazy year. I mean, you know, you see some programs are putting in 8 and 9 games, and the others are struggling to get 4 and 5. But that's how it is, I would say, nationally, because it happens that way in high school. And that's what we warned against from the beginning. I mean, everybody said the state of Florida wasn't totally ready, but half of it was, or three quarters of it was, and they all got that big jump on South Florida. And as I look in the state series, South Florida still has 7 schools, one for each class other than 1A, which I think the closest probably would be Pahokee. But they, Palm Beach County, Broward County, as you know, have opted out of playing in the state series if you belong to the BCAA or the Palm Beach County Association. You most likely are playing in the Tri-County Championships, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes with Bill Daly from the Miami Herald. But that's what's happening. You know, I mean, we got kind of squoze out there because our teams just weren't ready in September. They weren't ready all of October. It wasn't until November, late October, that Halloween weekend, where South Florida really started kicking it into gear and playing games. But then one after another would come down with COVID cases or trace something that would put us on the sidelines and cancel games or postpone them or whatever. But you had to realize that this was going to go on. And I know the naysayers to my idea of starting on January 4th and finishing in late March, even early April, and go with spring football in June. Kids don't go away anymore. Could have done that very easily and played that season and had everybody from Pensacola to Key West involved in the state championship like it's been forever. Not just have a few teams here and then force a few teams who played 3 games or 4 games into playing in the state championship series. But let's see if South Florida can get some type of last laugh on this, because in 8A we have Miami Palmetto, as we'll talk about in our second hour when we talk about our South Florida teams with David Wilson from the Miami Herald. We'll break down all those teams. But as we sit here, Palmetto not scoring a whole lot of points, although they did last week, scored 22, sits as the only team Dade Broward Palm Beach in the 8A classification that even played. Everybody else didn't opt in. So what happens there is they win at home against Dr. Phillips of Orlando, go on the road and beat Lake Nona of Orlando, and then last Friday went up to Treasure Coast in the Port St. Lucie area, Fort Pierce, and beat a good Treasure Coast team. So now they have to go back up and play Vero Beach, which is never easy, and I saw Vero this year lose for the first time in the regular season. But last year, as we found out, Deerfield went up and played, I believe, in this same round and did very well. I mean, dominated the game. So let's see what happens with Palmetto. And we know in 7A, it's the same game that has taken place for the last 4 or 5 years. Venice and St. Thomas Aquinas. That's, I believe St. Thomas Aquinas will be the only playoff team, state playoff team. There'll be obviously the Tri-County games that'll be dotted throughout Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But St. Thomas will be the only local program home, because in 6A, Miami Central's on the road in Fort Myers against Dunbar. Central's only, up until last week, played 10 quarters. I think they have like 14 quarters now of football. And they were playing a Naples team that had 36, 38? Crazy. A lot of experience. But they're still alive. They'll play at Fort Myers Dunbar. In 5A, American Heritage Plantation keeps answering all the bells. They went up and beat Rockledge. So they'll be back in action this week again. Good football program. Pat Surtain has done a really good job with that team. 4A, Cardinal Gibbons with a huge win again. They're on the road against Coco. Ryan Schneider, former Plantation High School quarterback and offensive coordinator at St. Thomas Aquinas, is the head coach of Coco, and that's going to be a heck of a game. 3A, Chaminade Madonna won a great game over Miami Edison, 28-0. This is one of the better defenses down here, obviously. They're a three-time defending state champions. That's impressive. And they won. And they'll move on to this next round to play Tampa Berkeley Prep. And then team that everybody seems to forget about, but probably has the largest scoring margin in the playoffs, Champagnat Catholic, defending 2A state champion from Hialeah. I'll tell you what, they've played extremely well, averaging, I think, 50 to 60 points in the playoff as well. We had told you for the teams that had opted out, excuse me, and there is something for them. They have a couple of independent leagues that are playing off, but what Dade Broward and Palm Beach did is come together for the Tri-County football. Dade Broward, Palm Beach, the three counties that really didn't have an opportunity to get in the mix until way late in the game. Bill Daly from the Miami Herald is going to join us about that, and he'll break down the entire thing that's going on. We're excited about that event, because it has an opportunity even moving forward, because there's a lot of teams that don't figure to really compete in the playoffs. You know, they haven't been to that. I think that every year your team should play teams that are of their own caliber, you know, and then you move up to the next rung. Just an idea. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game, visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. And as I tell you every week, our show tonight and our show each and every Monday night, as well as our appearance with on the Joe Rose Show on Friday as part of Football Friday, would not be possible without AutoNation. And AutoNation doesn't just sell cars and trucks for less. They also buy them for a lot more. AutoNation will buy your car for cash. Appraisers will pay you top dollar for your vehicle, whether it's online or in the store. And what? You'll get a check on the spot. You can deposit it right away. So why sell your car anywhere else? Turn your car into cash at AutoNation. And if you need service, AutoNation service tech experts are ready to help. Oil changes, tires, batteries, collision repair, and a lot more. Whatever service you need, AutoNation tech experts can do it all and all for less. Plus, important. This is the deal sealer. They sanitize every vehicle service, so you stay safe on your ride home. To schedule service, appraise your car, or for that AutoNation store nearest you, visit AutoNation.com. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that upcoming Tri-County football. Bill Daly for the Miami Herald's next. Back with you on a South Florida high school sports show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening. As we told you, we have the state championships going on, but another little thing that's getting put together slowly but surely is an event that will start this week and culminate over the next 3 weeks or so. It's the first ever Tri-County football championships. All your favorites are taking place. Somebody who has been at this since the beginning and knows all about the Tri-County football event and how it will culminate is Bill Daly, who will join us now from the Miami Herald. Bill Daly, thanks so much, Bill. And obviously, this is an event that could maybe continue for programs that don't want to go into the state series.
Yeah, that will be the million-dollar question going into next year, Larry, is you know, under the assumption, and God knows we all hope that the world will be relatively back to normal by next summer with hopefully a vaccine out in full circulation, and we'll get back to more of a normal life. What will a lot of these teams do? A lot of the big shots, you know, I'm sure will continue to opt in, and Central and Northwestern and Booker T and maybe Columbus and Western, Plantation, Deerfield, teams like that, I would imagine probably would opt into the state series. But there's going to be a lot of teams. I mean, a ton of teams like Coral Glades and Flanagan and, Coral Springs and American, North Miami. I mean, teams that know, that they're not getting to Tallahassee, and wouldn't it be cool to just
let's hope it's not going to be Tallahassee next year.
Yeah, that's true. So as we get ready for a long drive. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how that all plays out, how this all goes. I can tell you that, as members of the selection committee, we certainly were excited, and I love the complaint that, right after we sent it the first poll, we started getting some complaints. And I said, that's great. I love complaints because that means we're creating some buzz. Okay. Yeah. And coaches care and players care and they want to be part of this. So yeah. I think it's great. It's a great concept. I want to first, before we go any farther, give a shout out to Reginald Fox at the Greater Miami Athletic Conference and Rocky Gillis and Sean Sarah at the Broward County Athletic Association and Valerie Miaris up in Palm Beach, who really, worked hard to organize this and put this thing together, yes. Especially Rocky and Sean. I think that's where this whole thing originally was hatched, the whole idea. And I loved it from the minute I heard about it. And I'm really excited now that it's a reality. I congratulate our fellow selection committee members on selecting these 48 teams that are going to participate in this. We did the best we could, folks, as far as seating everybody. I know, we couldn't get everybody in, and a few teams got left out. But, it was a challenge for us, Larry. It was, as you well know, because there was such a small sample size. Some of these teams hardly played any games. So, we just had to do the best we could with the limited data that we had. And I think we did a good job, if I say so myself. I think we got it. I think we got it nailed down pretty good. And we got these teams seated pretty effectively, I think. So looking forward to everything getting underway this weekend.
Bill, the one thing, too, is you have your 8A because you had enough teams. You had your 7A, obviously. But 6-5-4-3-2, we didn't have hardly any. We had one 1A team. But you couldn't really logistically put 6A, 5A. It all had to be 1A through 6A, which kind of turned out pretty good because you have an opening round game of Glade Central hosting Booker T. Washington, defending 4A state champs. So, obviously, and then you have Columbus defending 8A state champions who will be home in the first round as a number one seed. So this kind of is working out pretty neat.
Oh, yeah. And my first reaction was when we first started breaking down in our initial meeting, you know, all the class A said, oh my gosh, 6A through 1A, there's going to be too many teams. That's going to be a glut. But I was surprised when all of a sudden we got the list of 6A through 1As in Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade, and it wasn't that big of a number. So I think we got that right. And then we just combined them, and then we kept 7A as a separate division and 8A as a separate division. And yeah, we got it. I think we got it right. Yeah, it was a great matchup. And our man Jordan McPherson from the Herald is going to make the trip up to Belgrade on Friday night to cover that Booker T Glade Central game. That's a real attractive game, and we got some other attractive matchups, and we're going to have some really good ones down the stretch too. And we'll see who makes the finals. You could have made possibly get a Columbus Western or Columbus Deerfield Beach gold bracket final in 8A. That would be a terrific matchup. Maybe Delray Atlantic and Plantation in 7A, and Booker T, for the record, is my dark horse choice. I think the Tornadoes are starting to catch their legs now, and I think they got a shot as coming out as a sixth seed and maybe getting to the final, maybe playing Killian in the final. We'll see what happens. So
yeah, I'll tell you what. But you look at two programs contrasting in their last year at this time, Booker T's getting ready to go to state, and Glade Central was doing everything they can. They fired Jesse Hester, which I hated to see, but I guess he stepped down. but the whole thing was it was all unraveling for them. And fast forward to this year, they've played pretty good, and new coaching staff, a lot of the players, and as we know, Booker T. Washington, at the beginning of the year got beat by Palmetto, but they were without a lot of kids. And remember, Booker T lost two very, very good kids who start now at IMG Academy, and that's a small school to begin with, so obviously you can't afford to lose that. So obviously you have 8A, as we said, big doing, 7A potential of a Plantation Delray Heritage match, or a couple of, and then the smaller schools 6 through 1. Now, not only do they have the gold division, but they have a silver division, so you actually crown, is that how they do it? They crown champions in each, the gold and silver in each class?
Yeah, there'll be six champions crowned on Monday the 21st, or the three is scheduled for the three silver championship games, and Tuesday the 22nd will be the three gold championship games. So you're going to have six champions. And you know what? I mean, hey, even in you win the silver championship, Larry, in the 6A through the 1A, guess what? These kids will put their fingers up, and we're number one, and they're going to get a nice trophy, and they're going to pose for a team picture. And that's something that they wouldn't have gotten a sniff of Tallahassee. They would have never gotten anywhere near the state championship finals. So, yeah. And they can walk, they can, on Christmas morning, they can say, hey, you know what? We were the 6A through 1A silver champions. And, what a thing for, kids to accomplish. And and that's why I got a feeling that this thing may stick. I'd like to think that we're not going to be one and done with this. I'd like to think that the work that's been done to put this together will move on. Like I said, not necessarily with everybody. I'm sure there will be other teams down the road next year that will choose to opt into the state series, but there's a lot of teams that there's a lot of teams left, a lot of quality programs that may continue to play in this Tri-County series. I think it's just a great thing.
No doubt. Bill, I appreciate it. Bill Daly, Miami Herald, he'll be joining us throughout the playoffs, trying to every week breaking them down with something. We'll be following it. We're going to give everybody – listen, we went all those months without having any of our teens play. These poor kids were – watching everybody else play. So now it's their turn to shine, and we'll be right there. Bill, thanks so much. Appreciate you stopping in.
Larry, all my best. We'll talk to you soon. Take care now.
Good stuff. Bill Daly from the Miami Herald, and I'll tell you what, he's on top of that. He will tell you brackets from 1990. I swear to you, that guy, he retained. Now, I know stuff, but not that. I don't know. I'm a little dyslexic when it comes to numbers, but I can tell you where people played and who they play for. Certainly, obviously, it's crazy doings. Speaking about crazy doings, this college football season is nuts. I mean, I don't have to keep repeating that or telling everybody, but our next guest knows that better than anybody, because Eric Henry follows and covers FIU, and FIU football, and he's kind enough to join us this evening to kind of break down a little bit what FIU's season. When are they playing? You kind of need to be on the inside to know when FIU's playing. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, not a problem, Blue. It's been a few weeks since I've been on, so happy to jump in and get the latest on when FIU may be seeing the field.
Yeah, you kind of hold the key here because every time I look at it, I'm seeing a postponement or a cancellation or something, and somebody has COVID one week, somebody doesn't the next, and this is really, I tell you what, old schooler like Butch Davis, this must just be driving him just crazy.
Yeah, Blue, and really quick for the FIU fans listening, I know I'm going to get in my mentions for the FAU slip-up. I'm looking at the game notes from the Shula Bowl last week or a couple weeks ago, so I apologize for slipping up and saying FAU. But, yeah, as far as Coach Davis, he's been frustrated. Just when I talked to him post-game after Western Kentucky, you know, I just asked him how frustrating the season was and the fact that in his career he's never faced a year like this where he's 0-5, get up to that start of the year and facing the things that they're facing. And he's been adamant, Blue. He said that the only way the team can get better is by playing games week in and week out and practicing week in and week out, you know, every day. And you haven't been able to do that with the COVID situation. He even said to me, and this is a direct quote from him, he said that their practices, to be honest, have been kind of a joke in the sense that just the lack of bodies that they've had to go out there and practice with. And you know, to kind of put in perspective for you and the listeners, Blue, I'll give you this, right? So if you look at 2 weeks ago, the Western Kentucky game, 52 players play for FIU, but when you subtract the guys who are only going to play one position, your quarterbacks, your specialists, that's seven of those. And then you subtract the four players who were injured in that game, you're left with only 41 bodies, right? You compare that to last year, 2019, when they played against Western Kentucky, they played 70 guys. So, you know, that just goes to show you how depleted the team is. I mean, only two healthy running backs, you know, Max Bordenstogger, you lose your quarterback, you're down to two quarterbacks. So it's been tough sledding all year.
Well, no doubt. Eric Henry's joining us talking FIU. And the one thing is just it's like, it's crazy to make this analogy, but it's like falling in one of those red ant piles and hurting your back and you can't get up because every time you try to want to get out of this thing, it's postponed. We're ready now. We're ready to play. And then all of a sudden you lose players and so you get no traction, you know. I can feel the frustration from a personal standpoint and understand what they go through. I mean, it's just you look at the Miami situation. Here's Miami was supposed to play this week against Wake Forest, couldn't play because they had COVID cases. So all of a sudden Duke steps up. So it's been that way. It's been that way at the collegiate level. It's been that way at the high school level. I mean, you know how, you've been around high school football before, and you know how those coaches will tell you, oh, well, I don't know if we could play them because we need to like 10 days to break their film down. Well, all of a sudden in COVID, it's not like that because you lose your game on a Wednesday. You want to play on a Friday. All of a sudden you have 2 days to learn your team. So these guys better understand when we come out of all this stuff that it's not as complicated as you think. And, if you work hard and you watch some film, you can get ready for anybody. I know you'd like to have as much time as possible, but you look at the situation moving forward. So what is the schedule? What have you heard that's going to happen over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, Blue. So here's the biggest thing, right? I mean, FIU is scheduled to play in Charlotte this Saturday. To be, you know, completely honest with you, Blue, I don't see that game happening. Charlotte just had to postpone a game that was scheduled to be played, get this, tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Time against Western Kentucky. They were scheduled to play that game because of the COVID issues with Charlotte. That game is no longer scheduled. I can't see how and it's 2020, Blue, anything can happen, but I can't see how they would have to postpone this game, but then their COVID issues would be resolved in 5 days to play FIU. So it does not look as if that game's going to happen. The last game scheduled is Marshall, scheduled to come down to play FIU on December 11th. That game's also in question because Marshall, you know, in 2020, yes, if they can save the call, they have a game that they need to make up against Charlotte as well. If they can take the home game with Charlotte instead of having to travel to Miami, that looks like that would be an easier route for them. And also for Charlotte, if they can upset Marshall, who's ranked in the top 15, that increases their bowl bid. So, you know, to be completely honest with you, Blue, there's a 50-50 chance that FIU is seeing the field for the final time this year. And just kind of disappointing for the seniors because, you know, kind of just a lackluster way to go out, not knowing it's your final home game or final game of your collegiate career.
Yeah, you're right. It's a terrible way to go out. I mean, you look at what's going on and out west and all these other conferences, and everybody was in such a rush to get this season going, and people warned you. I mean, you know, that's all we could say. I know that a lot of people are doing it and they haven't gotten, you know, sick, or they have, but it's inevitable. I mean, you know, your top coach of all time, Nick Saban. Here's, you know, I mean, so it's happening. Everybody, everywhere, not discriminating. It's going after everybody. So this has just been, it's just been crazy. And the only thing we could hope for is some type of a vaccine that'll slow it. You know, I mean, all of a sudden you're going to get a vaccine. Everybody's going to be immune, but that's not going to be the case. So it's going to take a while. You know, we're not going to, I mean, we'll go back to life, but it's going to be a different way. And you see that, you know, with the football season, you see that with just every day, just living every day. It's kind of, you know, kind of, you know, you're morphed into a whole different society than we were 8, 9 months ago. And it's crazy. But it's like my dad once said, it's crazy what, you know, I mean, what would happen if you don't have income coming in and you don't have these businesses. I mean, people will have to survive. And that's what we're going through. And for some people, you know, as well as I do, Eric, they don't care about the football season. They care. Let's just get this, you know, let's get this pandemic under control, and then let's move on in a different way. And that's what's going to have to happen. I wish only the best. I really do for all these kids. I don't, you know, I think anytime you would have started, if you would have started in January, you would have still had your problems, because we're going through it. And obviously, if you have anything, let us know. Where can people follow you so they could keep up to date what's going on with not only FIU, but the entire conference and also FAU?
Sure thing, yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at @EricCHenry_. And, of course, you can find my FIU and Conference USA coverage at Underdog Dynasty, SB Nation's home for Group of Five football coverage.
Good stuff. Eric, as usual, thanks so much. I know that we would have loved to talk a little bit more X's and O's, but there really hasn't been a whole lot. Certainly we'll keep at it. We'll make sure these guys get as much publicity as everybody else. And we thank you for stepping up as you do every couple of weeks.
Not a problem, Blue. Anytime.
Good stuff. Eric Henry, as he does, joins FIU and talks FIU football and does a great job. You know, but like I said, right now, what's going on? I mean, you know, not a whole lot. And knowing Butch Davis the way I do, I mean, that's a frustrated man. I know that you can't help it and everybody else is going through it. But wow, when you're geared one way, and I know he is, Greg Schiano, a lot of those coaches like that, they see the big prize. And if something gets in the way of that big prize, like this pandemic, then obviously, you know, you can understand what's going on, but at the same time, nobody could say anything about somebody who's just angered because they like to win and like to build teams, and he does. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and also youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. And as I said over and over again, and we'll hear a little bit next week about Otter Nation, because they're going to be getting involved in the Florida-Georgia game that we'll talk with Fahim Ali next week. That's excited. Get the best of Florida and Georgia like it used to be. But Otter Nation is getting involved in that as well, and that's just a great company. And Otter Nation doesn't just sell cars and trucks for less. They also buy them for a lot more. Otter Nation will buy your car for cash. Appraisers will pay you top dollar for your vehicle, whether it's online or in the store. You'll get a check right on the spot that you could deposit right away. So why sell your car anywhere else? Turn your car into cash at AutoNation. And if you need service like we did, AutoNation's service tech experts, they're always ready to help. Oil changes, tires, batteries, collision repair, and a whole lot more. Whatever service you need, AutoNation tech experts can do it, and do it all for less. Plus, big one right here, they sanitize every vehicle service so you stay safe on your drive home. To schedule service, appraise your car, or for that AutoNation store nearest you, visit AutoNation.com. We talk recruiting when we come back. David Ferronis from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is next. ¶¶ Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening. If you miss any of the seven guests that we'll have on this evening, you could just catch us at go to WQAM.com. And then when you get there, go to the top of the page. And there's a little icon that says On Demand. You click that, and then you come down three-quarters of the way, almost all the way to the bottom, and you'll see South Florida High School Sports. It's a red and black insignia. Click on that, and you will hear everybody tonight, everybody last week, everybody as far back as you could dig. And that's all courtesy of Dan Day, who does an awesome job every single week. As we said, up until 8 o'clock, thanks so much to Eric Henry and Bill Daly for joining us in that last segment. Now we switch our attention to something that's captivated South Florida, the 7-1 University of Miami Hurricanes, and David Ferones, who loves those Canes, talks about them, does a great job year-round, joins us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. David, thanks so much for taking the time on your Monday, and wow, what a crazy year it's been.
Absolutely, Blue, and those were some tremendously precise instructions that you gave there. Three-quarters of the way down on the page, everything.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. So now you'll know when you get in there, because somebody will say, hey, listen, I'm scrolling down, I don't see it. I said, well, it's down in the basement. Just keep going. obviously, this has been a crazy year for everybody involved, but Hurricanes have this nice little mojo going at 7-1, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, let's take 3 weeks off. Crazy thing. A week off's good, but the way they've been playing, they've kind of like gotten used to being those cardiac kids winning those tough games on the road.
Yeah, they really have. I know some people want to see them win in more impressive fashion than we've seen, but I think at this point right now, you just want to see this team get back on the field. They were without double-digit players in each of their last two wins, the ones at NC State and Virginia Tech. And these are two solid ACC teams as well. So, you're missing – you have 11 players unavailable at NC State, 13 at Virginia Tech, and, you go and win those games however you can. So they're very happy to be 7-1, and then – right now, just on to the next one, which happens to be Duke. It's one which is an annual game, a divisional game, but in 2020 without divisions in the ACC. One that was originally mixed, but now it's back on. It's just the ultimate 2020 thing that you're not supposed to play them, and then all of a sudden, the week of, you are.
Yeah, I mean, and that to me is the craziest thing because, you tune in. I mean, I think, what was it, the Florida State game last week? There was, I think, two other games that went right down, I guess, right before the game, and they called them. Those are tough because you get mentally prepared the night before, the week before. You get to the stadium or you get on the way to the stadium, and then all of a sudden the game is off. And what a feeling. What a feeling to have for these players, these coaches that have gone through craziness. I guess we have to somewhere along the line – thank goodness that we have eight games in, because a lot of schools would take that in a heartbeat. Talk about that, because you are getting to see a lot of these kids this year, where if you played that 4 or 5 game season like Wisconsin is looking at, you may not get a chance to look at all these guys.
Right. I mean, that's one thing that Matty Diaz has said, that the athletic director Blake James has said repeatedly, just to be fortunate enough to get eight games in to this point. Blake James has constantly used the word aspirational, that the schedule was really, it was highly, exactly that, aspirational, to be able to get 11 games in and, to be standing with eight and then three to go, three on the schedule. That's really something. And, a lot of schools, like you look at the Big Ten and Pac-12, they had those delayed starts to the season, and then they're still going through postponements and cancellations at this point. Some of those, I mean, you look at Utah just barely got their first game in just the other day. So some of those barely getting any games going to end up with maybe, the 3, 4, 5 even. So to have a chance to get to 11 before a bowl game, then that's really something. And then a year like this.
Yeah, you'll take it any time. David Feronis joining us. South Florida Sun Sentinel is where he can be found. But he's also, you love the past, man. You love the Dolphin past, the Hurricane past. I mean, you're passionate for sports in South Florida. It's just amazing. And the one thing that you take a look at, too, is you'll come to a high school game now because University of Miami's got kids involved in a lot of those games. But, you know, Dave, when you were covering them, high schools, that wasn't always the case because a lot of kids weren't committing in Miami-Dade County and Broward the way they used to, you know, back in the day or the way they are now. Talk about that, because I think that's really important that South Florida kind of grab back, or Miami kind of grab back South Florida recruiting.
Absolutely. I mean, it's that state of Miami bringing that back. For the Hurricanes to be what they've, you know, historically been since the 1980s when Howard Schnellenberger first established that, then, yeah, you're going to need to at least be at the table for that first pick among those top recruits. Where several years it has been that the Alabamas and the Ohio States and the Clemsons and, you know, whoever else, you know, obviously at certain points it was Florida, certain points Florida State, they were getting their first choice. So then it was kind of like, you know, maybe Miami would get one or two of those guys a year, but then after that it was kind of just, all right, you take that maybe a second tier and then on. But now, you know, having a seat at that table where you're competing with those elite programs to keep those top talents in South Florida, that's really the foundation of it all. That's when Miami football is when first and foremost you can keep the top South Florida talent home and playing for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And the one good thing too is because of the landscape of recruiting, because the NCAA has extended the dark period until April, which is mind-boggling to say the least. But because all that is happening, these kids aren't as apt to back out and say, "Oh, I'm gonna go take a visit to." You can't see, so they can't. It's almost like this class for 21 is pretty well locked because where are they gonna go? Where have they been? Where they would say, "Well, at least I've been at Miami a bunch of times, and you know, and I know what they do, and this and that." But let's say Florida State, and they've never been there. So Miami's got a huge advantage this year more than ever before because of the fact that you have these 21 kids, and between what, the 16th and 19th of December will be the early signing period, and then they come back in February and do it again. Miami seems to have probably one of its best classes in years.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said, I mean, the pandemic has really, in that case, worked to Miami's advantage. I think a lot of people are valuing home at a time like this, you know, right, being in these lockdowns and obviously not being able to travel as much as people may like. And obviously for the recruits, they can't go on those same visits during these dead periods. So, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of recruits that when the pandemic hit, maybe they had all these visits lined up through April and the summer months, and then they wanted to take their five official visits and then go and make a decision as seniors, but it simply didn't work out that way for them. So, yeah, you know, then you're going to go with what you know, which is the University of Miami at that point. So, and then, it has a tremendous impact on the 2021 class, but then in years forward. So, you know, 2021 class, it goes all the way through, but then if that dead period is at least through April, then we're talking about it not being lifted until the summer for these seniors who their junior year has lost so much evaluation. You know all about that. You know, you're at all these games,
sure,
and all the camps that, you know, you haven't happened the same way that you're used to seeing. So, you know, it's really interesting just the younger classes, how they're going to be evaluated and how, you know, maybe there's going to be some opportunities for some, maybe some group of five schools to find some diamond in the rough type guys, or maybe locally Miami can go in and actually find some elite talents that a bunch of those other schools aren't really on top of the same way. So it'll be really interesting to see how all those dynamics play out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because of the fact that the dynamics of recruiting has changed so much that legally, and I with my air quotes here, college coaches hadn't been able to see a kid live in a year. It's been a year now, because you got to remember, there's a lot of these schools that lost in the playoffs last year, and it was about this time. So you're thinking that's the last time that a lot of these college coaches got a chance to watch these sophomores, juniors, and the current seniors live and in person. And the growth period that happens during the a year for a kid is unbelievable. So that athlete can pretty much change their whole demeanor, the whole way that everybody looks at them. And, yeah, it's crazy. Dave, I appreciate you, as always, stopping by, talking UM. I know that, you know, the recruiting, and you go, I see at a lot of the games, so you could keep all the Hurricane fans abreast on what's going on with the recruiting. How are they following you? Give us a couple of ways to get, you know, to get for the people haven't had the chance to follow yet. Get in there and read all your stuff.
Absolutely. On Twitter, at David Furones. That's DavidFurones, underscore at the end. And also just log on to sunsentinel.com. If you go to the Miami Hurricanes page, sunsentinel.com/UM, then all the articles, you'll find them right there.
Good stuff. David Furones does it great for University of Miami. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Blue.
Good stuff. That ends our first hour. Don't go away up until 8 o'clock. We have a lot of players coming up. Sake Thomas will be representing Cardinal Gibbons, Miami Central. Don't go away. We have one more hour. Dan Day and myself. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.